There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is Shiny Geek.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con Countdown podcast thingy that we do every year because we're nuts. Joining me as always, that you hear the melodious tones of Lee. Lee, how are you?
Hi. I am doing very well. And how are you?
I'm fine. I just learned that you cheated on me twice while I was gone.
I did cheat on you twice while you were gone. Well, you cheated on me. Hey, I told you ahead of time that I was going to cheat on you. Again, doesn't count as bad. You cheated on me behind my back. Con husband, cheating on me behind my back is just worse.
Can I use that logic with my real wife? No.
No, okay. You cannot use that logic with your real wife. Nor can my husband use the logic of you cheated on me once, I'm cheating on you twice. Yeah, none of this works for our real life spouses.
In case he's
this
listening.
This does not work. He does listen, actually. I was kind of surprised. They're like, no, I listen all the time. I'm like, no, really?
And so that logic, if applied, that would be you've cheated on me zero times, therefore I can cheat on you once.
Yeah, there you go. you've never cheated on me, therefore. Yeah, no, it's not going to work that way.
So, as we discussed with Rain, the previous podcast, the Android app is out, which is awesome. We've also had some other announcements. Hold on, I was just looking for it. Where's the stupid Dragon Con page?
I don't know. Where's the stupid Dragon Con page? What'd you do to it?
I don't know. I'm looking for the group. Why can't I find that group?
What announcement? No, seriously, what'd you find? I didn't hear of anything. I didn't look today. That's probably my fault.
Okay, hold on. I'm looking for it.
Okay. I'm holding.
Talk about something, Lee.
Well, I will say I do find it very interesting that we are a little over 20 days out, and I just can't really believe it because we're still adding guests. We added some comic book people last week who I didn't know, but thank God the two people I was talking to did. We also added, we've added a couple of other named guests as well. I just saw them the other day. Some people I went, whoa, that's kind of cool. So, I mean, I think it's just going to get better and better. And I know that they're not done. They're still working on this. Dragon Con doesn't just say, oh, okay, that's enough and stops. They're still going to be looking for it and still trying to see what they can find. So keep watching because I think we've got a potential for more. I really do.
Actually, that was one of the things, the post I was looking at, which was, unfortunately, as of 5 hours ago, according to Dragon Con, Gillian Anderson is not confirmed at this time. Still, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It says we continue to work with her team to resolve an issue.
Yes.
Which is, you know, the restraining order that she has on me. And also,
that's and me.
Absolutely not true. She actually wants to see me. That's a problem. And my wife has a restraining order against her. No, that's not it at all either. Anyway. Now
I'm so going to get in trouble.
Now I'm creepy stalker guy.
Yes, you are.
But they also said we also do continue to work on a couple of last minute hopeful additions. So
yes,
we like
that doesn't stop. I mean, I think that's the thing people don't always get is that Dragon Con just doesn't go all of a sudden go, oh yeah, that's enough, we're done. I mean, if we can find somebody, and they've been working on a lot of people the whole time. So some of them, it's just they're trying to find out, you know, do they have work or not. And that's, you know, or if they do have work, is there a way to work around it so that they can come to Dragon Con? Because Dragon Con is often said to be one of the favorite cons for attendees to come to. So I think it's great.
And also, I would like to point out that there's also on the Dragon Con Facebook site, they're talking about, there's a link there. It says, got a question, check out the Daily Dragon Fact. And there's a guy there, Sean. He says that... it's on your list, but maybe you can answer for me. Can you explain the peace tying rule for fake plastic guns? Your security staff blames APD, and APD says they don't care. It's not their rule, and blah, blah, blah. Of course, Dragon Con, at least the Facebook's admin, replied back, basically saying, talk to the security department. However, I believe that we've already explained that in a previous podcast last year, but we will have Mad Dog on again later.
We will have Mad Dog on again, but I mean, I think the quick answer is that, and not to talk about other tragedies that recently happened, and our thoughts are with all those families, but many Dragon Con costumes and many Dragon Con props look very, very real. And, you know, there are a whole heck of a lot of people. And whether they're real or not, or if they are real, some of the swords are, and they are on their, in their, I think the term is called scabbard or sheath. You know, you don't want to hurt somebody with those. And so there is a safety concern. That is also a way for a lot of people to know, you know, because even if the end of it looks orange, you know, this is also a way to know that even if that end is orange, you... The other parts are locked up and can't be used. So I think that's kind of important. And, it's just a safety measure, folks. Let's just know that most, you know, 99.99% of all the people out there have the best of intentions and are really good people and are just dressing up and having fun because it's fun. But there is a very small percentage that might want to try something, and let's just try to make it more difficult for them a little bit.
Right.
Especially at a place where people are costuming and will have very real looking things that they are carrying around. Correct, John?
Correct. Well, and as a person who's played airsoft and whatnot, which a lot of these guns now, especially the guns, are usually airsoft because they are such dead on replicas of the real guns. Those actually do shoot stuff, so it's not like they shouldn't be.
But I guess
Sean's major complaint is that, and you know, to his credit, I mean, I understand, is that it kind of ruins his, it takes the effect off of his costume. And speaking of costumes, Lee,
we have an amazing director here who is actually my neighbor at Con, or was last year. I hope he is still this year because it's awesome. Even though sometimes you're like, dude, those are some really big fairy wings and you're going to poke an eye out. And for me, that actually, as many people know, is possible because I try to hurt myself many times. But this is Lee, who is the director of costuming, who is such a busy man. He has sometimes three things going on in one room at one time. How you doing, Lee?
Hi, how are you?
I am good. We are good. How are you? Have you freaked out yet and tried to run naked screaming from Atlanta?
Well, I wasn't naked, but the screaming part.
Damn, I was hoping there were pictures, man.
Yeah, I'm in Fort Lauderdale this weekend.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Uh-huh.
Where am I back? Backyard is the word I was trying to look for.
Again?
Yeah, I was going to say backwoods. You're in my backwoods, but that's not, you're in my backyard. That's what I was saying. So how are you enjoying the weather? Is it rainy down there or no?
It was earlier today. It finally cleared up and we were able to get out by the pool for a while. And now we're just kind of edging in the room and talking with you folks.
Sweet.
Well, if it's any help, it was also raining in Atlanta today, so.
We needed it.
We desperately needed it. I'm not really that complaining about it. So,
now let me ask you where you stand with the peace bonding. Do you think it really destroys
with
peace bonding? Do you really think it destroys from the costumes look?
I think it's a catch-22. I mean, one of the things that we do in costuming track is teach folks how to get these weapons as realistic looking as possible using foam and any number of different kinds of products they could do. I mean, heck, you can go straight to the engineer guy who does all of the smooth-on products and come up with some pretty darn realistic-looking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, from a security point, I think you need to err on the side of caution. It's better to check somebody out and find out that it's not sharp and it's all foam or whatever, as opposed to saying, ah, it's probably just foam, and then all of a sudden someone loses an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So true.
Oh,
so
yeah.
True.
Well, and I mean, I do. I think that it is, it's a tough one, and it really is, but mm-hmm. I think that it's one of those things that you just start thinking about, and you're like, guys, you know, I don't know. We, you know, I would rather err on the side of caution. I really would. And I think you can work around it in your costume, you know?
Precisely.
Complain.
I mean,
that was not my part.
I've seen where someone had a Nerf gun, and they were just firing the Nerf gun for the fun of it and accidentally hit one costumer in the eye who had glitter eyelashes and scratched her eye. So you've got to think about this stuff.
Yeah. Well, and then there's me who, you know, tried to poke my own eye out because I cannot. I am never ever allowed to do that again.
That's just with a badge, though, Lee.
That was just with my badge. That's just me.
You are the only
nunchucks again.
No, that's just how. There's a reason my parents did not name me Grace, because that just didn't happen.
Yeah, you're the only one that security requires to piece on their badge.
Own self, yeah. They're my own self. I can't walk around. It's bad. It's a sad, sad state of affairs, man.
So go ahead, Lee.
No, you.
I said that does sound sad.
Oh, it is sad. It's. Dude, I've seen those shirts on ThinkGeek that it takes a lot of effort to trip going upstairs. Yeah, I can trip over air. I took like 7 years of ballet because my parents kept hoping it would help. Yeah, it's just, no.
Oh, I can't say anything about that. I actually took dance for several years, too, when I was younger, and I'm still just as klutzy as I was back then.
I'm
right there with you.
Yep. So,
on the bright side, on Saturday night at the con, I can I can be just as plutzy as I can be, and it looks perfectly normal.
I love it because also at con, sometimes you can just kind of pretend that tripping is a costume. It's like, totally meant to do that. I'm all right. I'm good. Mm-hmm. And they're like, awesome. Absolutely. What's your costume? I'm like, haha, you got to figure it out. Yeah. So,
hey. Lee, how many years is this now for you as head of costuming?
Well, this will be my third year.
Okay.
Wow.
In those 3 years, do you have any one particular thing that stood out as far as a track or a costume that stood out in your mind that completely blew your mind during those three years?
A couple of years ago, my first year, there was a couple that showed up as Big Brother and Baby Sister for the costuming contest, and it was the largest, most massive Big Brother costume I've ever seen. It was huge, and they had obviously put a lot of detail into it. All of the rust spots and the metals looked exactly like metal and rust. A tremendous amount of sewing and painting and detail went into it. It was an absolute beautiful piece.
Do you know how much time they spent on that particular costuming set?
If I remember correctly, I would say they had worked on it. I asked them that very question. I think they said 3 to 4 hours every day for about 3 weeks.
Oh, my God. That's
a lot of
time.
These folks are serious.
What is the longest amount of time you've spent on a costume?
Oh, wow. Probably when I was hand-stitching some gold brocade onto a pirate costume, because the only way of getting it on there without any of the gold thread showing where it was stitched to the jacket itself was to do it by hand, and it was around the bottom of the jacket, up both of the lapels, around the neck, shoulder pads, everything, and I think I did just the hand stitching alone for, 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That is nuts.
That's like, wow. I'm sorry. I just always, I find the costumes really amazing.
And that's nothing compared to some of these pants.
And I know I'm just amazed at all of them because my son is now into costuming. But a lot of what we're doing is buying things and making some very minor alterations to them because I don't sew, although he is learning to sew. I'm very proud. But doing them that way, I'm ecstatic he's sewing. He can help me hem pants, man. I am ecstatic about this.
It comes in handy, and usually if it's the guy that's doing it, they're serious.
Just the time and effort people put into these. I mean, I'm always stunned. And I think one of the things, too, is because I'm right beside you and I see people who are coming into your track room, And even when they're just looking like, oh, it's just, it looks like a Victorian gown or something like that. You're thinking, oh, they bought it. They did that. No, they handmade that sucker.
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, I was listening to this one lady talk about all the, just the sheer volume of time she put into stitching the beads onto a gown and how she had ordered fabrics from France and all this other stuff. And it's like, holy cow.
Really?
I was afraid to touch it.
Yes. Well, I would think, I would be afraid to wear it. I literally would be scared I'm going to drop something on it. Or I'm always so scared when I go up to somebody in a really gorgeous costume that I'm like, I don't want to touch. I want to touch it, but I kind of hold my hands away because I'm really scared I'm going to break it or do something. And I'm not, you know, you're not trying to, but it always amazes me.
Yeah, I think I was drinking a cup of coffee when she approached me, and I immediately turned on my heels and went back out of the way.
Hi, have a lovely night. Well, do you do anything about how to kind of get around con in some of these costumes? Because I've always been kind of amazed by that as well.
Actually, we do. I mean, there's a number of what I call logistical panels that we do on, you know, everything from, you'd be surprised at the number of folks that create costumes and they think about it afterwards, like, oh my God, how am I going to go to the bathroom in this? So just making them practical, how to stay on budget, to entering contests and what to know about entering contests. I mean, that there's so much there. And then, of course, there's folks that just do it strictly for the fun. And those are the ones that, that tend to be a little more relaxed about it. And they're just so much fun to work with.
Well, I also think you have to also, I know one thing I was seeing, I think it was maybe you actually had a panel on it, which is, you know, how do you sew a little pocket in your costume? Or, you know, what kind of shoe do you really want to wear? Yeah, and you want to be authentic, but you also don't want your feet to be little painful balls by, you know, 2 hours in wearing your costume.
Exactly, exactly. One of my very first costuming experiences when I was still in high school, I was trying to dress up as a robot, and my gold lamé shoes started going awry at the last minute, so I stitched myself into them. And after about 14 hours of that, my feet started to hurt, and I wasn't done with them, and it was either tear them off and be done for the evening or keep them on and suffer through it, and that's what I ended up doing. It was probably one of the stupidest things I've ever done. but yeah, folks do stuff like that. We have panels on you know, accidents that have happened and how to avoid them. Where a lot of these professional costumers that produce these beautiful, beautiful costumes get to talk about their oops moments. And so you feel a little more, you get to see how human they are, and it makes you feel a little better about some of the mistakes you make. So we did that, and we also were doing a costuming practicality panel this year. Pockets. Comfortable attire, that kind of thing, and then we also have some panels on how you can cheat, how you can get some of the looks that you want without spending a fortune. Some people really want the authentic, and other folks just want it to look authentic but stay within budget. And there's ways of cheating without looking fake.
Yay! And remember, everybody has to go potty. Everybody has to go potty.
Exactly. Exactly. And at con, you have to get on the elevator.
Yes.
You do have to be able to go up and down stairs.
Yes. And get through the walkways, the breezeways.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you even have to be aware there's going to be people all around you. And if you've got sharp objects on your costume and your visibility is greatly limited, you don't know that you're stabbing people.
Yeah, you don't. You don't know that.
Yeah. What? Oh, yeah.
And that's usually why some of the more elaborate costumes especially have what they call handlers with them, too. So folks that can help get them through the area As well as this, those are usually the people that, if like for example, our buddy Shag, he takes lots of pictures and he lets people know where the pictures will be, so if they want to see them. So, but he doesn't give them to the person in costume, because they usually don't have pockets or some place to put that. So they just he hands his card to the handler. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, yep. And now you always have amazing panels, but are there anything special this year that you're really looking forward to? No, you do. I mean, my son sits in on many of them. And then he comes and he goes, I'm going to do this. And I just kind of go, I'm going to kill Lee, so help me.
That's funny. That's what I say every year, too, but I'm not talking about
Lee.
You know,
I know you say that. You say that for 50 days throughout doing this, but I'm going to kill Lee. Yeah. Mom, we can hand-stitch leather. You can hand stitch leather. Your mother is. Oh my
go
god!
For it.
Good, enjoy that.
Well, I think part of my secret is that early in the year I start soliciting ideas from the fans, and I kind of work backward. I take all of their ideas and then I put them up for a vote for the rest of the year, and I pick out the best ones and with the by fan vote and. Then I start looking for panelists that can teach those particular things. So I make sure that I have stuff that the fans really want to see.
Oh, very cool. So what are some things that you are really looking forward to this year that you're bringing in or doing this year? Any guests?
Oh, my gosh.
Or
anything like that? How much time do we have?
Keep going.
Usually I have Dragon After Dark, Friday Night Costuming Contest, and a fashion show. Well, this year I also have a show called Project Cosplay. It's like Project Runway. It's our version, but it's a little more campy. Basically, we throw a bunch of crazy materials at them, everything from duct tape, saran wrap, fabric, scraps of leather, cardboard. You never know what's going to end up in the pile. And these teams have to pull their head together in an hour and produce a costume out of it, a full look. And we're going to be giving an award away to the best team. And then there's also the Makeup Makeover Challenge that we're doing this year, which is our version of Sci-Fi Channel's Face Off.
Oh. Ooh.
And that's going to be interesting because we've got some really, really good makeup artists that are going to be doing this. Our version, however, is going to be that while they're doing the makeup, they're going to be explaining to the audience what they're doing and why.
Oh, okay.
So how many contestants will you have up there at a time?
There's five contestants for the Makeup Makeover Challenge, and they're going to be drawing a genre right out of a hat, and a descriptive pronoun for that genre. So it could be space pirates to post-apocalyptic Barbie dolls. I don't know, but we're going to come up with genres for that, and they're just going to draw them right out of a hat and get started on volunteers from the audience.
Post-apocalyptic Barbie doll. That sounds just like... I'm sorry. I got to say this or else it's going to eat my head. Which basically at some point, somebody please do this because, of course, one of the silicone breasts has just, you know, deflated and fallen out. So please, in your post-apocalyptic garden, I would be ever so grateful if you would. I'm sorry I had to say that. I'm sorry. I know I'm not.
What does happen to silicone when you turn into a zombie? That is a good question.
It just sits there. It's an inanimate
object.
Well, I guess
it depends on how much you use the silicone it's had, because silicone's rubber, the more you make it work, the lazier it gets. So it starts to sag and get brittle.
Well, yeah. I mean, and think about it, too. Yeah. As a zombie, if the flesh is falling out, it's going to just fall out. It's going to. Your flesh is going to. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Hey, come on. Here we go. John, what you never knew you wanted to know. Welcome to the Unique.
Exactly. Yeah, we just don't know what's going to come out of this.
Well, I love the idea of the face-off thing. That show is pretty damned awesome. I've been kind of scared and stunned how good it is.
I love that show. I've been trying to get folks from Face Off on panels for a couple of years now. And speaking of which, I have former contestants from Face Off on my track this year.
Yay!
Yep, RJ Hattie from season 2 is going to be there. If you followed season 2, the episode where they were doing Tim Burton-esque characters.
Okay.
He was the one that did the bellhop that had the drawers in his chest with all the socks hanging out of it.
I kind of remember that. Yeah.
He was also the viewer's choice. He was like part of the top three there at the end. He didn't win, but he was one of the final three guys, and he was voted audience favorite. But he's going to be there. He's going to be doing a workshop on how to do foam sculpting, which that particular costume that I just mentioned was completely made out of foam.
Wow.
And he's also going to be sitting on a panel talking about Face Off, what it was like to be a contestant, and how it was to have a camera over your shoulder all day long and still be able to produce great work. So, he's bringing with him four members from the forthcoming season 3, which starts on August the 24th. Those particular contestants are Roy Woolley, Laura Tyler Dandridge, Derek Garcia, and Carpucine. I hope I said that right. Carpucine Childs. Cece. She goes by Cece. So they're going to be talking about Face Off, and I know that those from season 3 are going to be kind of limited on what they can say because the show will be going on during Dragon Con.
Oh,
but
wow,
we're
okay.
Still very happy to have them. Yeah. So we've got them sitting in our audience while folks are still watching the show every Wednesday night.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
Yeah.
So now you do the Friday costume contest. You do the Dragon Con After Dark contest, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody else. You do that one. How many of
That's
those
fine.
People or how many people from your that come to your track or you know in your track then later go to Masquerade as well? Or overall, how many people have you talked to that have done 1, 2, and 3, all three of the costuming things?
It does happen quite a bit.
Oh,
Yeah. And I even have panelists who are pros that end up occasionally registering as professional for the professional category for one of the contests. And that's allowable as long as they do apply in the appropriate category. We don't want them trying to say they're an amateur and competing against these young budding costumers. And here they are bringing out the big guns. But they're just as interested in these contests as anyone else.
And do you do a kids contest too, a kids costuming? Or is that just Masquerade that does that?
Because
Masquerade does have, if people don't know this, they do have a young adult or child contest that's, I think, it's under 15 or something like that, so...
Now we have a youth category for our Friday night costuming contest. Obviously, we don't have that for the Dragon After Dark, but
not obviously.
The Friday night costuming contest. Other than that, as far as children's programming, one of the things we're trying to do this year, I'm still hoping to get approval for it. We're trying to do a series of workshops, and one of them is going to be a children's costuming workshop.
Oh, very cool.
I'm hoping to bring in Mary Abreu, who is an author of a couple of different children's costuming books, and she's just an amazing talent, and she's come up with this brilliant idea of doing a steampunk children's costume where they can come in, do the workshop, have a complete children's steampunk costume for a cadet, and then they can parade around DragonCon the rest of the weekend with it if they want.
Oh, neat. That is an awesome
idea.
Keep going. Sorry.
I'm just hoping to get approval for that. I've got a couple of other workshops that I want to do. One is kilt making. Another is chainmail jewelry. Going to teach a couple of different techniques in chainmail so that if you decide to take those techniques and turn it into something larger, say a shirt or a skirt or anything out of chainmail, you can do that. And what else? Leather work, I believe.
Oh, yeah. See, yeah, that's the one I got to keep my kid away from. I can hand tool our own leather. No, we can't. Now, with the kilt making, I'm just curious because I'm totally trying to plan my husband and child's schedule because I don't have one. But is that kilt as in traditional kilt? Is it more of a men's utility kilt? Or what are you kind of looking at in that one?
Well, it again, this is contingent upon approval, but if it
right.
is
Right, contingent upon approval, everything is tentative until your butt's in the seat or Tuesday morning, whichever comes first. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my disclaimer. but yes, what he'll do is walk you through every step of the way as far as taking the measurements, what measurements to take, why, what to look for, mistakes that could be made. Basically, you'll be taking a swatch of fabric, and by the time you're done with it, you will have done every single step there is in the process of making a kilt. So you can make it traditional. You can do a utility kilt style if you choose. And then you get a workbook with that so that when you go home, you have the sample that you just did, and you have the book. You can sit down and make your own kilt.
Okay, I got to get my kid to go to that one. How about you, John? Who do we send from the Unique Geeks to go to that one?
I actually, I mean, if he wants to make me a kilt, I'll gladly wear it.
I want him to make me a traditional kilt.
Well,
I've always thought kilts are really, I used to have one, and they are some of the most comfy damn things ever. I love it. Was warm and comfy. That and some tights was the best thing in the winter ever. It's all wool, and it was comfy, and it was warm. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's why those Scots are able to walk around in the snow with those things. They're warm.
They're warm.
Are they really? Or are you just pulling my leg?
Mm-hmm. No, they are very warm. Traditional tartan is wool.
Huh.
Not the utility kilt. The utility kilts are all cotton usually, and they're very comfy.
Right. But they're either denim or cotton or corduroy or something. So, they're not quite as warm, but they're very comfy.
They're very comfy.
I really do want to wear
a
kilt. I mean,
when you spin,
I just the kilts. I mean, good quality kilts are not cheap.
No,
they're not.
Yeah,
no.
And
that's the only thing that's holding me back.
A lot of people are intimidated by making them, so we're hoping to take some of that intimidation out of it.
That would be cool, and I. So now one of the things you just said is this one, the kilt making one, you're giving a work, they'll get a workbook when they leave, but do other things, do you put things up later up and say, okay, here were the instructions from, you know, Friday's panel. Dragon Con does not start on Thursday, no matter what anybody says. Friday's panel on, you know, chainmail jewelry. Here are some of the sheets or anything like that. Do you do that?
Now, if it's from one of my panels, yes. The workshops are going to be a little bit different. The reason why it's pending approval is that, needless to say, these instructors are going to be bringing all of the supplies to be able to do it. Well, they can't afford to give free supplies to 25 people.
Yeah. That is very understandable, people. That is, yes.
And we're trying to finagle that so that, because we've got plenty of people that are willing to pay at the door to be able to do this because, I mean, costumers, these are touchy-feely people. They want to get their hands on stuff. And and when you see a lecture, yeah, it's inspiring. You get to see things. But by the time you get home, you don't necessarily remember all of the details.
Yeah.
So the whole point of the workshop is for folks that are truly serious about making a kilt or really do want to get into chainmail or leather work, whatever the case may be, they can actually get their hands on it, build something, take it home with them, and they can use that later no matter where they want to go with that. I mean, once you learn how to make a kilt, you can pretty much make any kilt you want to at that point.
Sounds awesome.
And we've got a fabulous instructor doing that. His name is Freddie Clements. He's a professor over at Jackson State. And he is the author of the workbook that they're going to be taking home with them.
Okay.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm excited.
Now, you are pretty packed full of stuff. Let me ask you, last year you talked about doing the three people in a room thing. How did that work out for you? Three different talks going on at the same time.
It was a good concept. It just didn't necessarily work as well as I had hoped.
Right.
I had one staff member in particular, and I won't embarrass her by saying her name. She somehow got the instructions on how we were going to run it a little mixed up, and so it created some problems and some confusion. And then, of course, for one of my panels in particular, one of the panelists did not show up.
Oh.
So all of a sudden we found where we were having to open up sections so that the panelist that was in this little sub room number two was now speaking to one and two. So there was just a lot of last minute juggling that we did not anticipate at the time. So we're probably not going to do that this year. Instead, we're working on trying to get the workshops, because the idea was to get folks close to the action. And it's kind of hard to do when you have as big of a room as I've got to do all of these things in. So so the idea was to break it up into groups, let everyone get close to someone so that they can see what they're working with and touch the materials and things of that nature. It was a good idea. I just don't think for the sheer volume of people that we had show up for these things, it's as manageable as we had hoped. So that's why we are considering workshops now, so that the numbers are limited to 15 to 25 people, depending on how many the instructor has specified. And they just pay for the materials, and they can definitely get their hands on it.
Awesome. That is great. John, you were about to ask another question. Oops.
We're working. We're trying to improve. The 3 to 6 at a time in the room, it worked for, I would say, about two-thirds of the panels. And, of course, one-third was enough for us to consider taking a few steps back and reassessing.
The other thing is I keep hearing people who just are really loving what you're doing, because there are a lot of different things you're doing, and that, you know, you're doing everything from the, oh my God, I had to go and buy Venetian, you know, lace in order to do this, to, you know what, I found this in the thrift shop and now I'm going to do this with it. And so people are loving that and seeing that the whole gamut of what costuming can be with your track. I think that's great.
And I was going to, along the lines of what Lee is saying is that, you know, you tried something new, which is really cool. You tried to mix it up a bit. Not everything's gonna always work out every single time, and just the fact that you are trying to break out of the normal thing, and you had the interest of the congoers in mind by, you know, letting them get closer to individual things that they wanted to see. That's admirable, and it's a cool thing that you tried, and you know, you live and you learn.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I definitely could have thought it through a little more than I did. and we live and learn. It was a great experience. The ones that worked really well, and the ones that didn't work was pretty bad. So that was just enough for us to say, no, let's not try this next year.
Hey, you live and you learn and you try new things. Welcome to Dragon Con.
We want a great experience for the fans, and if there's one or two panels that aren't as beautifully flowing as the other panels, then they're the weak link in the chain, so we've got to figure out something else.
Right. Well, and you know, you can't score if you don't shoot. So, yeah, you got to try.
Right. Right. Yeah, I take full responsibility for the flop. I wasn't very clear on
stop
how
it.
You know.
I'm sure it was fine. I'm sure nobody minded. It was okay.
It's okay.
So let me ask you, what is as far as other things, since you're so busy, What are some of the other things you're looking forward to at Con that maybe you can sneak out and go see?
Oh, wow. you know, every year I look at everyone else's schedule and I try to pick out a couple of things that I think I can sneak out and go see. And I never get to, so I haven't even done that this year. I've just turned myself entirely over to my track. I would like to go to the Apocalyptic Ball. I think that's going to be amazing. But, you know, if it happens, great and wonderful. If it doesn't, I'm going to have just as good of a time in my room as anywhere else. So I always have a blast. These panelists are amazing. My staff is amazing. I have the best time.
Yay. That's awesome. So that is very cool. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I gotta tell you a little story. I meant to mention this before. I just got off of vacation, got off of a cruise ship, and they had a quote contest, you know, 100 movie quotes, and, you know, the idea was to, trivia contest was to get, you know, the actor and the movie. Well, one of them, actually, this movie came up several times, but the one was... I love the smell of napalm in the morning. Well, of course, that's from
Apocalypse Now.
And I believe it was Robert Duvall who actually has that quote.
Mm-hmm.
But Apocalypse Now came up with three different quotes. Each time I wrote Apocalypse Rising. That's where my mind has been.
You are already in Dragon Con mode.
Exactly. So, yeah, the Apocalypse Ball is it would be an awesome one to hit, especially, you know, because obviously lots of costumes there. So, you gonna try?
I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of headdresses these folks come up with. There's some creative people there at Dragon Con, so yeah. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Creative people at Dragon Con? No,
no,
just a bunch of nerds.
No.
If I could get half of them in my room to teach, I would. There would definitely be panels going on Thursday and again on Tuesday and Wednesday after.
No, Dragon Con starts on Friday. Stop it. Don't do this to us. Dude.
Dragon Con starts when I land in Atlanta. No, just kidding.
That kind of does for us, but yeah.
So... why don't we ask the traditional final question there, Lee?
Yes. So,
okay,
if you could have any guests, living or dead, but not zombies, at Dragon Con for your track.
And different guests from the ones you said last year.
And different guests from the ones you said last year. Who would you love to have as a guest for your track? Well, it doesn't have to be your track, but a guest at Dragon Con.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me think about this. Well,
and I have no idea what you said last year, so it's okay.
If they're living, I would have to say Alexandra Byrne. She did costuming for Elizabeth the Golden Age. She also did Hamlet, Phantom of the Opera. She does a lot of period pieces.
Oh, yes.
But she's recently broken out of the mold and did something truly amazing, or in my opinion is amazing. I'm a little bit of a comic book geek. She designed the costumes for the movie Avengers.
Oh, but hold on a second. Hold on a second. So do I have her to blame for the Captain America's cowl? I mean, because everything else was fabulous. But that cowl was just annoying.
I don't know what he's talking about, Lee. So we've already had this discussion once, and I'm like, dude, I have no idea what the cowl was fine.
That tends to be the big controversy in costuming. Inevitably, someone always brings up traditional versus modern movie version superhero costumes, and folks get passionate about it.
Well,
John is very passionate about those damn things on the cow. He really is.
It's just no. I don't mind. It's just I do notice that they didn't spend too much time. I mean, they actually purposely ripped that thing off of his head. So
because he's a pretty man.
Well, there is that as well. Because the first captain, I thought. Okay, I hate to get into this rant here because it's just.
Okay, keep going.
Captain America, the first Avenger. It was called the First Avenger, right? Not the original Avenger.
Yes.
First Avenger. Mm-hmm.
They're calling it the First Avenger.
Okay, yeah. It was, I mean, I can't remember the exact full title of the first movie. Anyway, of the Captain America movie. But that uniform was fabulous, I thought. I thought the costuming on that was fantastic for him. And, of course, mm-hmm. they wanted to modernize it up a bit, which, okay, you know, they went to the ultimate Captain America, which is all this, all the storylines kind of follow that one way anyway. But just, I don't know what it was about that cowl, but it just seemed, everything else seemed perfect, but that cowl just was a little, I don't know if it needed to be, maybe it was the way that it was shot or lit or something. It just seemed odd. It just seemed like it didn't belong with the rest of the costume. But anyway, the rest of the costumes, absolutely fabulous. Even as hokey as, Loki's horns are, you know, at any given point, it works. It works with the whole thing, but the rest of the costumes are fabulous, and I thought they were really well done.
Tom Hiddleston does rock those horns. He really does. How many people can hold a scepter like that and those horns? He rocks them.
And the chick from How I Met Your Mother. Why I can't remember her name right now. In that nice skin tight uniform. I was enjoying that. I thought the S.H.I.E.L.D. uniforms were very well done.
S.H.I.E.L.D. uniforms? Colby Smulders mm-hmm. is her name.
Colby, thank you. Colby. Anyway, sorry.
And I think it's
so
interesting that Hiddleston was originally supposed to play Thor, and then they changed that and asked him to play Loki, and he was perfect for it. I can't see him as Thor.
Yeah. Right. No. My God, he would have had to dye that poor hair like blonde, 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 blonde. Oh, my.
And,
no, no,
and get a bit buffer. Yeah.
And been a lot buffer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He could see like cheeseburgers and not worry about it, probably.
I don't know. I'm like, these guys are gods. They don't have to be buff. It helps that they were, but. Yeah.
And I really did like Thor's.
That's my theory.
I did like Thor's warrior costume, too, or whatever you call it, the battle costume. When they added the chainmail, quote unquote, the arms and everything else, I thought it worked out really well. I thought it was very well done. So anyway, who's your next guest?
You mentioned one. Is there somebody else?
Who can we rant about next?
Well, if it was someone dead, I would have to say I would have to bring in Walter Disney.
Oh,
just really? Because he's Walter Disney.
Wow, that would be
kind of cool. I mean, I know that it's been I know most of his stuff when he was alive is now considered antiquated, but he was brilliant for his time period. He was brilliant, one of the most creative guys ever lived. So it'd be interesting to hear his take on costumes.
Well, I think one of the things too, I read like one of the, histories of Disneyland, because that was the first one. And his idea mm-hmm. of when you are in costume, you are that person, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Until you are behind a closed door and taking that costume off, you are that person. You are that character. Mm-hmm. And he was somebody that really pushed that. And now that's how they all go. But that wasn't always the way people thought about it, you know. And it just, that they lived that character was kind of neat.
And full disclosure, like anybody cares, I just got off the Disney cruise is actually where I went on, and I learned an interesting fact about him and that I had never known, which is that, you know, he went bankrupt and then built himself right back up again and did it again. I mean, he got taken advantage of with his first set of characters he created, and then eventually created Mortimer Mouse, which of course became Mickey Mouse. And you know, his the whole just from a standpoint of, you know, believing in yourself beyond that. And by the way, speaking of costumes, the costumes on the Disney cruise, absolutely fabulous. On the shows, because they actually do they call them Broadway caliber shows. They're an hour long, so they're not, you know, exactly, you know, breaking. But the costumes were and effects were very well done on those. So, anyway.
They have beautiful costumes.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, and then, of course, you know, they do have, you know, billions of dollars to spend at this point. Like, you know, they can pretty much get. Oh, but by contrast, if I can talk about costuming at theme parks at this point, if you've been to Universal Studios, the costumes there are all. I mean, I'm not blaming the costumers at all. And I know that they're kind of pinned down because of contractual obligations, but the costumes there, especially for their superheroes, the Marvel Island, which, you know, is ironic since it's owned by Disney, they are atrocious and are in horrible disrepair. I mean, they are.
Are they really bad?
Oh yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. The Wolverine costume they currently have, the guy that is the old. I want to say
the yellow,
late
blue
80s,
one.
Yellow, blue, yeah. And black one. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the big eyepieces over it. Now, see, the thing is that what I'm getting at here is that the costumes at Dragon Con compared to the ones that they have at Universal Studios, Dragon Con blows them away, and I don't understand why they can't get anybody. I do understand from a contractual standpoint, they are stuck with those particular genre of costumes because, of course, Disney,
right.
Being the corporation that they are, and owning Marvel, is not going to allow them to change the costumes. They've got their contract specifically written in there. If it was up to Disney, of course, Marvel Island would not exist at Universal Studios, or Islands of Adventure, rather, at all. So, but, you know.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that it happened in the first place.
Right. So but the costumes there are in bad repair, and I would think that they could just get someone from Dragon Con to come out there and fix them.
Maybe that's the costuming track project next year.
I know some spandex experts that could fix it for me.
Yep.
Okay, now we've gotten two of your guests, so who's the third one?
Oh, wow. Let me think about this. You know, I don't know. You caught me off guard. Let me think. And it can be anyone. They don't even have to be related to costuming.
Yeah, no, they don't have to be.
Joni Spina.
What was that?
Joni Spina was the director, choreographer, and head assistant for David Copperfield for 20 years.
Oh, wow. Ooh. That would be an awesome guest.
And she had the majority of the input on costuming. She was the one that taught him to do the posing on stage. And she choreographed all the moves, everything. She's a brand name magic consultant now that she's no longer working for Copperfield. She's personable. She's wonderful. She'll talk to anyone about anything. She's not standoffish, and she's not at all... she doesn't hold back on any of the good stuff. So she's just a delight to talk to, and I would love to have her talk to the audience.
It sounds like somebody who could tell some great stories, too. I mean, not just answer questions,
yes.
But great stories, yes. Those are the people I love hearing. Anybody that can tell me a good story, I'm right there.
Yeah, she's genuinely fabulous, and I don't use that word very often. She's just an amazing woman, and she just the level of detail and attention that she puts into every single aspect of entertaining is absolutely stunning and amazing. She literally thinks about all of this stuff and just the whole psychology of movement. To hear her talk about that alone will just make your jaw drop.
Mm.
That's that. Well,
I know.
Hello.
I'm a little bit of magic geek.
No, I like those. Those are neat guests.
It actually reminded me again to go like someone while I was thinking about it, which was Mike Super, who won a Phenomenon, by the way. I just happened to see him just the other day again on. Well, I was on the cruise on the Disney Dream, and he was absolutely fabulous. So yes, I do. I like magic as well. So
very cool.
Especially if you can entertain, much like Copperfield did. So.
Right. Well, that's actually part of the reason I got involved in costuming in the first place, because I am a part-time professional magician, and getting the great costumes for my show was costly and nearly impossible. So I started learning how to sew on my mom's sewing machine, and it just went from there.
Very cool. That's the way you do it. That's it right there. You just go from there.
That is it.
How big was your first cape that you sewed? Your first cape. Did you have a magician's cape?
Honestly, the only cape I ever had was one that I used in a magic show where I was turning a kid into a magician. And I had a small square of red fabric that would turn into a full-size cape that would just completely swallow the kid.
Oh, nice.
That's cool. That's neat.
I think the thing was 13 feet long and 8 feet wide.
Oh, cool. Neat.
Yeah. Yeah, so you get an 8 or a 9-year-old boy up there turning him into a magician, you know, 13 feet long, 8 feet wide. It just completely swallows him whole.
Neat.
It is funny.
Do you do any magic at Dragon Con when you're there?
Usually I try to keep the focus on the panelists. I've had folks ask me if I would, so occasionally if I'm not working and I'm just kind of sitting around having a drink or two and just shooting the breeze, I will go ahead and do a couple of things. But outside of that, I tend to leave the focus strictly on my panelists and guests.
So now you got to go find him when he's having a drink and then ask him to do magic. That's what he's just yeah. There we go.
Favorite
Nail me down when I'm sitting at the bar, and if you ask me to show you something, I will have a couple of things up my sleeve, absolutely.
All right, let me ask you, favorite magic-based comic book hero?
Oh, man. That's a good question.
You're a magic-based, other than
Zantana
or whatever name is, Zantana or whatever.
Doctor Strange, any of those.
Yeah. Guys. Actually, you know, Doctor Strange was one of my favorite ones when I was in high school, so I'll go with him.
Yeah. He has that David Copperfield flair about him.
He really does. He's got a great look to him, and he's mysterious. So.
All right, cool.
There you go.
Well, again, where can people find out more information about your track, and where are you located again?
Perfect. I am located in the Marriott, rooms M103 through 105. And you can find out more as far as my schedule and what's going on in the room. You can go to costuming.dragoncon.org. Or you can just email me at costuming@dragoncon.org, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. And we have a Facebook page.
Oh, really?
That's where I tend to bounce a lot of my ideas. All of the fans are there, and they're very responsive. They're very quick to tell me what works and what doesn't work. So they make my job 1,000 times easier than it could be. I'm very thankful for all of the fans on Facebook, and so you can get a lot of great information there if you track down the costuming track there.
Where's that at? What's the name on that? Is it facebook.com/DragonConCostuming or?
Let me double check that real quick, because I usually just see the string of numbers and stuff.
Well, what we can do is we can look at...
Yeah, because it's a group. It's
oh, it's a group, not a page. Okay.
I put it in as a group instead of organization, because it just seemed a little more... Well, this was kind of before they started tweaking the organizations and stuff anyway, and it's been up there for so long, I just didn't see any need in destroying the group and trying to start all over again as an actual organization page.
Well, I tell you I will link to it from folks can go over there and get to the Facebook page or the Facebook group via theuniquegeek.com. When you see this post, you will be able to head over there and find it there, and we'll have a link right to it from the Unique Geek. So if you go over there and join their group and do all the discussing about costumings stuff that you desire, and
perfect,
get that stuff going.
Awesome.
So, right. Only 26 days from the recording of this, so yep, we're all excited.
Yay, we're gonna have fun.
thank you, Lee, for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to and your vacation to hang out with us.
Go enjoy your vacation now.
Thank you. I mean, it's my pleasure. I always enjoy talking to you folks.
Thanks.
Well, this is a...
I like rubbing elbows with Lee anyway. I'll do just about anything for her if she asks me.
You're so awesome. I will do anything for you, too.
Don't you have to crouch down to rub elbows with her?
Can you stop? You had not made a short joke all
night until now.
And you had to.
Yes.
You had to scoop that low, didn't you?
That's the only way I can talk to you.
Another kick in the shin for you.
Well, anyway, this is the end of this particular podcast. For Lee, this is John saying until next time, peace.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.